I immediately knew I was busted. This was not just any BMW 5 Series. This was a fully fledged traffic cop spec 530 diesel touring, complete with dog guard, tow bar, and additional shark fin aerial. Balls. They are onto me. I backed the Volvo off to about 150 and I considered my options. No traffic, perfect light, no Saab, no touring car, no help. It's over. It's all over. I knew right then that my driving licence was toast and I had no idea how much the Grey Shark BMW had actually seen. The very fact that his blue lights were not illuminated told me I was dealing with an officer who was going to enjoy the next few minutes. I was, technically speaking, screwed. Good afternoon, or good evening, actually. I hope it's the evening. I hope you're sat down, relaxing. Maybe you've got a glass or something. And I hope your day's been okay. You know, you have those moments where your day is just not okay, and everything sort of just ramps up, and the pressure of everything around you feels like it's too much and that you're going to break. Well, how we deal with those days varies by who we are, but sometimes I like to write. This story, and I'm reading it today because I'm not feeling fantastic today, and I feel like today is a good day to do it. I'm having one of those days today where the sky is grey. It's rained virtually all day, and I feel like I'm being crushed by the grey sky. And that's the kind of mind frame that I was in last summer when I wrote this piece. This is one of my favourites that I've done so far. So have yourself a drink and see what you think. It's a bit dark. It was intended to be a bit dark, but it's also funny. This is called The Hammerhead. The plan had been simple enough. We were going to take the Volvo touring car replica and the olive green Volvo 850 T5, and we were going to capture some rolling photography of the two cars together. We headed out from Worcester in convoy, with GoPros mounted in various positions on the two Volvos and the chaser car, the photography car. That was a black Saab 9.5 Aero Hot Estate. The light was fading, and we were heading into what those in the trade call the golden hour, when the winter sun drops low in the sky, and the magical time when the right kind of eyes and a camera can make even the worst basket case cars look like showroom stars. After brimming three petrol tanks with premium fuel, there's no surprise when my phone pinged up to say, "You're using an unarranged overdraft." Crikey, I thought, we'd better get the money shots today. Our convoy pulled out of the petrol station, with the race car taking the lead. The olive green T5 was behind, and the Saab Aero Hot wagon was bringing up the rear. Approaching the first roundabout, the Aero took the right-hand lane, so the passenger could hang out the window and film both Volvos as we cruised slowly towards the infamous Ketch roundabout, aka Traffic Island. We drove in single file through the roadworks, with the camera capturing the cool golden glow of the sunset over the River Severn. Worcestershire drivers heading north will know that after you crawl over the river, you've got an opportunity to get the hammer down, as the roads open up and widen as they head towards the motorway. And it was at this point that things started to go wrong. The race car snuck through the traffic and opened up a significant gap on the T5, which was trapped behind a tractor and was anxious to catch up, while the Aero could only watch from even further back. The three cars were split up before a single photo had been captured. In the T5, and not wanting to waste any daylight, I made the decision to gun the throttle and catch the touring car and try and regroup the threesome. My burst of acceleration caused me to arrive at the Swan roundabout a little too quick, so I made the right turn towards the motorway, but the front wheels were screaming in protest. No matter, I thought, no one's watching. The Aero was hot on my bumper, and seeing the urgency in catching the touring car before the light slipped away, the two Swedish estate cars elegantly looped the roundabout with a respectable but not obnoxious amount of tyre squeal. Both cars looked noticeably faster than your average moving traffic, but we didn't think it would attract attention. But we were wrong. As the two Swedes screeched at pace and bumper to bumper across the roundabout, the traffic, waiting to turn right, looked on, including an inconspicuous-looking BMW 530 diesel touring that, unbeknown to the excited drivers in the Saab and the Volvo, had suddenly taken notice of the two fast-moving wagons. The BMW Touring was finished in dark grey. It was fitted with a dog guard and a tow bar, and had a subtle extra aerial behind the shark fin. Any normal petrol head with good spidey senses would have spotted the car a mile off, but the pressure to capture the photos had suspended the inbuilt police radar that all car guys have. In the olive green T5, my focus was entirely on catching the race car. Although that was the slowest of the trio, that five-cylinder engine can really surprise when driven hard and with aggression. Knowing that the aero hot behind me was just as capable, I had no concerns about accelerating hard down the slip road onto the M5 South, confident that the Saab could keep up. Still unaware that the 530 diesel was now trailing and observing from afar, I pushed the T5 hard into the roundabout and I let the boost gauge do its thing. 50, 60, 70, 80. The numbers blurred as the red needle passed them. My God, this car is impressive. I'm on the run. I'm no longer Jeff. I'm powerful. I'm free. I'm a hammerhead shark. Hear me roar. By the time the two Swedes hit the motorway, the speedos were indicating around 110, but neither driver could see the touring car ahead, and neither noticed the BMW behind. As we pushed the Volvo and Saab to 130 and beyond, in a desperate bid to catch the race car, we neglected to acknowledge one simple fact. The car that we were chasing was actually behind us. Having lost sight of the T5 and the aero in the rearview mirror, the driver of the race car had aimed for Pershaw and pulled in for a coffee. Where the two turbo cars frantically blasted down the motorway in hot pursuit, the race car had never even reached the motorway and was patiently waiting for the turbo wagons, which were now long gone. Back on the motorway, the two Swedish wagons continued the chase for the non-existent touring car. And as we had accelerated so hard onto the motorway, the lack of traffic and intoxicating evening light combined with the childish boost gauge and a full tank of fuel led me to do something really stupid. I kept it pinned. Why not? I thought. One good squirt never hurt anyone. If ever there was a time to go all in, then this evening is it. I figured the touring car must have made it to Gloucester services, which made sense. There's a damn good flat white to be had if your wallet can stretch to the pleasure. A glance at the speedo showed 145, but I knew the Green Goblin had more to give. Egged on by the cheeky fog lights of the aero hot behind me, it became obvious that the two of us were in the midst of an accidental race. In the Saab, the driver was protected by an invisible legal force field known in courts worldwide as, "It's not my car." The photographer in the passenger seat found the whole thing hilarious, which is why the aero, instead of doing a grown-up thing and backing off, actually seemed to be pushing the T5 forwards. We flew past Gloucester services and indicated 159, and I have to say I was impressed. Not only was the car still eking out more, but it felt planted and solid and secure. The light traffic continued, like the gods of the automotive world were smiling down, saying, "Go on, just this once." In the T5, my thoughts of catching the touring car or outrunning the aero were long gone. There was no one in the periphery, literally or otherwise. I was a one-man band, a one-man rock show, a one-man rocket, a hammerhead on a migratory journey to nowhere at high speed, and I was thrilled to death about it. I kept my foot to the floor and I kept the focus, white-knuckled and alive, yet totally, safely, completely in charge of everything except my own self-control. I put the first flash in the rearview mirror down to the undulations of the road, the Saab's headlights gently bouncing as the well-tuned Swedish suspension carefully absorbed the pitch and yaw of Britain's fifth motorway. But that was my mistake. What I saw as the natural fluctuations in the headlights in the mirror was actually the frantic flashing of a driver who knew. A quarter mile behind, the dog guard and the extra aerial were closing in, and sadly, they were still attached to the BMW, which was driven by a curious, bored and rather excited police officer who couldn't believe his luck. He remembered the Volvo 850 from his first few years as a traffic cop, and he knew their capabilities well. Back at the squeaky tyre roundabout, the officer had a choice. He could have floored it, popped the blues and twos and had a word with both drivers about cornering too fast and breaking traction, or he could have gone for option two, and that was far more appealing. It was a Friday. It'd been a boring week. The Volvo and Saab estates were far more interesting prey than a stolen Mercedes S-Class or a Vauxhall Zafira with missing wheel trims and drug markers on the number plates. No, this wasn't the day for early action. This was the day for option two. Follow and see what they do. To the officer's delight, both cars had accelerated hard down the slip road and the dirty diesel BMW had been left behind for the first time. Using all of the available horses from the big diesel, the German Shark had made it up to 155 and beyond, eventually reeling in the Swedes when the Volvo had slowed. Clearly the driver was coasting down from his high-speed blast whilst considering a flat white at Gloucester Services. But instead of indicators, brake lights and a move off the motorway, the Volvo switched lanes and accelerated, off into the distance once more. A costly mistake, thought the officer. More costly than a £30 coffee. It was the Saab who first spotted the BMW, having noticed it was the only car that wasn't flying past on the left-hand side, and was starting to take up more and more space in the rearview mirror. He flashed the Volvo a frantic warning, but that only seemed to make the T5 go faster. Up front in the green machine, I was so focused on trying to make the car hit 164 that I didn't notice the Saab hit the brakes and make a wild dash off the motorway towards Cheltenham. The Saab had read the situation well, realised that the BMW was most likely after the Volvo, and decided it was every man for himself and abandoned ship. It worked like a charm. The shark-like BMW stayed on the scent of the Volvo, and the Saab was home free, leaving the Volvo with blood in the water, and the shark had taken the bait. In the BMW, the officer had indeed made another crucial decision. The Saab was not the ringleader here. After all, it was the Volvo with a GoPro attached to the roof. No, he thought, glancing at the Saab, today is your lucky day. He pulled alongside at 120, met eyes with the driver, and watched the Saab disappear in the rearview mirror. Happened to me once. As the driver stood heavily on the brakes and disappeared up the slip road at Junction 10. No, today is your lucky day. Today, the shark is hunting Green Goblin. Pushing the big Bavarian even harder, the police driver again considered lighting up the blues. The Volvo was in sight, still pegging it in the fast lane, all hunkered down with the rear softly bouncing and those distinctive lights looking pretty. But no, he thought, let's wait. Let's observe, but don't report. Up in the big green Swede, I'm fairly sure the needle indicated 169. But as the Saab was no longer following, I figured I'd loop back around at the next junction and tell the guys I hit 175. It's here, dear listener, that we reach a crucial T-junction in this story. For it was at this point that I saw the distinctive kidney grill in my rearview mirror. And seeing the grey shark, I immediately knew I was busted. This was not just any BMW 5 Series. This was a fully-fledged traffic cop spec 530 diesel touring, complete with dog guard, tow bar and additional shark fin aerial. Balls. They are onto me. I backed the Volvo off to about 150 and I considered my options. No traffic, perfect light, no Saab, no touring car, no help. It's over. It's all over. I knew right then that my driving licence was toast and I had no idea how much the grey shark BMW had actually seen. The very fact that his blue lights were not illuminated told me I was dealing with an officer who was going to enjoy the next few minutes. I was, technically speaking, screwed. What the driver of the grey shark BMW didn't know was that this is not my first rodeo. I've been here before. I know the game. You put on the lights, I pull over, you play good cop, I tell a sob story, you play hardball, I do confessional, and then you stick the boot in anyway. No, not this time. I'm not going to play you stupid games. If I'm going down, I'm going down big. Go big or go home. And tonight, I'm not going home. These decisions were made in a split second, but the thought processes involved were complex. With my decision made, I pushed my right foot hard into the carpet and I listened to the car drop a gear and spool up the turbo again. And the Volvo seemed to agree with me. Between the whine of the turbo and the scream of those five cylinders, I almost heard the Volvo say, "Go on, Jeff, you got this one. This is the big one. This is the one that counts. I've got your back." I gripped the wheel and I hunkered down hard in the comfortable seat, like a Nordic warrior preparing to fight. Come on, let's go. In the BMW, his grin was getting larger. "I have always wanted to do this," he whispered, and his finger hovered over the lights and sirens as he prepared to radio it in, but he paused and drew back. "Today's not the day for heroes. This is not one for the team. This is not one for the force. This is one for me," he said, and he pushed the accelerator to force the gearbox to downshift. Black smoke billowed from the dirty diesel as once again the needle indicated 155. The Volvo was bouncing around as the rev limiter reached its peak. But this high-speed chase would only be short. I had a plan. A beautiful end to a wonderful era of cars. The perfect sign-off for the perfect car. This was about more than going fast. This was an end of a magical decade for automotive enthusiasts, for freedom and for humans. Spiralling costs and bursting roads and deteriorating services and punitive legislation have been pushing drivers and car owners for years. And this wasn't just for me. This was for everyone. This was for everyone who ever moaned at an expanding low emission zone, for everyone who groaned at rising tax rates. And now, in 2022, this was the final swan song for all those cars that would be taken off the road due to sub 30 miles per gallon and £400 tax brackets. My Volvo was in agreement. It didn't creak. It didn't complain. It somehow knew, like a great gladiator walking into the broad daylight of his final fight in the auditorium. We might be facing a well-armed Bavarian bull with nothing but a Swedish fishing net and a stick, but my God, are we going to go down hard. After a few miles of high speed, flawless driving from both cars, the BMW began to have doubts. Who is this guy? He clearly knows what's up, but his brake lights haven't so much as flickered. He knows the game's up, and he's pushing it into the sunset even harder. Is it drugs? Guns? Terrorism? Or is it something much, much worse? Is it good old-fashioned hedonism? A chase for the sake of the chase? Knowing that he could call it in at any moment, call a stop to proceedings with some blue lights and the radio, the officer sat back and enjoyed the moment. Instead of following procedure, he reached out and he turned all the communications off, with the speedo still indicating 150. The Bavarian bull had gone rogue. Up ahead in the Volvo, it was a combination of drugs, weapons and terrorism that pushed me on. My drug was a banned, soon to be extinct, heavily regulated and highly addictive narcotic called the Allure of the Open Road. My weapon had five cylinders, and as an automotive advocate, I was, in theory, a threat to homeland security, a threat to the status quo, a threat to the very direction the new world was heading. I don't want keyless entry and digital mapping. I don't want someone in an ivory tower to have the power to switch off my car for a week because I said something on Facebook. I don't need any of these technological advancements that serve only to shorten warranties. I want a key to raw, visceral, dinosaur-powered experience that I can enjoy anytime, anywhere, any place I choose. I'm a dying breed. Humans these days seem hell-bent on giving up all those things that get your blood pumping. And what's the point? This modern world isn't made for Jeff, and Jeff isn't made for the modern world. Jeff's a relic of the past, a character from a time gone by. Jeff doesn't belong in a world of sit down and shut up and swipe here and check in. So Jeff's checked out. Jeff's done. With the Volvo and the BMW approaching Bristol, only one driver had a clear plan. The two cars left the motorway and aimed west, following both the sun and the river, and aligning with the central navigation device installed in the T5. My natural compass has only ever pointed southwest. My life played out before me on the dashboard as I pinballed the Volvo through the outskirts of Bristol. Memories of my travels bouncing on the dash as I weaved between Amazon Prime vans and ambulances with the big Bavarian, never absent from my rearview mirror, but still showing no blue lights. Swimming before my eyes were all my successes and my failures. Everyone I'd ever met, everyone I'd ever hurt, people I hadn't thought of for years were racing across the windscreen as I continued to pilot my F-15 of a Volvo, looking for somewhere to land, and I had the perfect spot in mind. You're not having me today, and not now, and not ever. You're not having my Volvo, and you're not having anything. I'm checking out. We cleared the traffic, miraculously, without incident, still hell-bent on making it over the Severn and into Wales. My mind was on coffee and mumbles, or camping in Llangwynaddle, or freezing days surfing at Llangennyth, afternoons with the skateboards in Swansea, but with fuel at £1.71 a litre, and no one any longer able to heat the house. Holidays and high days are part of the old ways. The excitement of making it to Mumbles was interrupted by a cold, hard bout of reality, which brought with it a dramatic change of tack. This was no time for rose-tinted glasses, no time for memories of better days or holidays of old when the future is nothing but cages and cold. No more. Enough's enough. Act your age. As the two cars breached Severn Bridge and the sun hung low in the sky, the water was illuminated with a perfect orange glow that made the entire width of the river appealing. The road led to Wales, but the river to the ocean, infinite in its reach and its potential. With a flick of the wheel, I shot at an almost 90-degree angle across Severn Bridge, and I smashed the nose of the Volvo through what I figured was the weakest part of the barrier. The BMW braked hard, its occupant in disbelief, as the Volvo went airborne, with the driver climbing out the sunroof. As the Volvo began its final, graceful arc into the ocean, the sun glinted on the paintwork and the fine straight lines of the body, and time stood still as the big Swede silently descended, with the driver climbing onto the roof. The plan was a perfect swallow dive, but I knew deep down that the stunt was impossible. I climbed to the roof in good time, and I kicked off the dive with perfection. The launch was superb, but the landing was less good. I hit the water hard, and I just had time to whisper, "Fucking nailed it," before 2 tons of Swedish metal followed through. The BMW driver was by now on the radio, half racked with guilt and half stunned by disbelief. Onlookers who saw the chase and heard the impact of Swedish metal on Bristolian Bridge were gathered to see if the olive green Volvo or the strange man in a flat cap would surface, unsure whether to cry or cheer. Bubbles rose from the depths, but no other signs rose from the deep. As the noise from the bridge increased, distant sirens filled the air as the crowd swelled and the boats began to circle. Deep in the murky brown depths, underneath the wreckage of the green Swedish goblin, something stirred and twitched and breathed. There was a scream from the bridge as bubbles rose and a flat cap bobbed to the surface. No other signs of life were forthcoming, but deep in the depths, from inside the Volvo, a grey tail swished into life. Eyewitnesses swore blind that in the moments after the crash, a distinctive silhouette was seen swimming south towards the ocean. And no photos exist to verify the legend, but those who were there on the bridge in the sunset looking west with the right kind of eyes say a hammerhead swam for the horizon. I'm not sure I believe in reincarnation. In fact, these days, I don't think I really believe in anything. But always believe in yourself and always be yourself, unless you can be a hammerhead. And then don't just be a hammerhead. Be the best hammerhead you can be. Thanks for listening and thanks for being with me today. Call me a safe bet. I'm betting I'm not. Glad that you can forgive, only hoping as time goes, you can forget. So you